Mr. Ham, Maker Zaytov Le'etzim, somebody who sells his olive trees for the wood, the buyer bought the right to cut down the branches to use them for firewood. Ba'asu Pachos may Revius Lissa. And before the locale had a chance to cut down the branches, olives sprouted on the branches, but the olives were very poor olives, that from one saw of these olives you can't even make a Revius Halo of Shemen. Hari Elu Shabal Zaytov, the person who bought the right to the branches, can keep these olives, and since these olives are so poor, the seller has no interest in making a claim on them. He is not makbid if the buyer keeps the olives. Asu Rabiyat Lasa. But if the olives that sprouted on the branches were good olives, that from one saw of these olives you can make a Rabiyat Halo of Shemen. Zeimer Zeitai Gidelu, Zeimer Artsi Gidela. Yachlok. Each one makes a claim on these olives. The buyer of the branches says he should keep the olives since they grew on his branches. And the seller claims that he should keep the olives since they grew from his ground. The din is that yachloku, they should split the proceeds of the olives. Now the Gemara explains that we are talking about a case where the seller did not specify to the locale when he should cut down the branches. But if the mocher specified to the locale that he should cut down the branches immediately, and he did not do so, and in the interim olives grew on the branches, in that case, the mocher keeps the olives. Even if the olives are very poor, he is allowed to keep them. And in a case where the mocher specified to the locale at the time he sold him the right to the branches that the locale can cut down the branches any time he chooses, and olives sprouted on them before he cut them down, in that case, the locale is the sole owner of the olives that sprouted on the branches, even in a case where the olives are very good olives and you can make a Revius Hashem and Persa. Shadak Nor Zesa. If somebody had an olive tree in his field, and a river came and flooded it, and uprooted it, and flooded right into his friend's field, where it took root in his friend's field, and olives grew from the tree after it took root in the friend's field. Each one makes a claim on the olives. The person who owns the olive tree says that the olives should be his since they grew from his olive tree, while the person in whose karka the olive tree took root said they should be his since they grew from his ground, the dinner they should split the proceeds of the olive. Now, even though the karka is the main instigator of the growth of the peiros, so therefore the person who owns the karka really should keep the peiros. The Gemara explains that we're talking about a case where the tree was flooded with a clump of ground still attached to its root. That in that case, when it is rerooted in the friend's field, it is putter from Orla the first 3 years. As if the tree had been flooded without a clump of ground attached to the root, and then it was rerooted, then it would be as if you're planting it for the first time, and for the first 3 years the pears would be Orla, you wouldn't be allowed to eat the fruit. So therefore, since that because of the clump of ground that came from the first person's field, the tree is now putter from Orla for the first 3 years, and you can eat the fruit. So therefore, it has a valid claim to the datum that grew from the tree. So therefore, for the first 3 years, they split the proceeds of the pears. But after those 3 years are up, or even had the tree been rerooted without the clump of ground attached to it, you would already be allowed to eat the pears. In this case, the person who owns the tree has no claim on these pears, and the person in whose karka the tree was rerooted in, he is the one that keeps all the pears. Somebody who rents a house to his friend during the winter. The person who owns the house cannot evict the renter between Sukkot and Pesach unless he gave him advance warning 30 days before the end of the summer, as he warned him by Tesvav Elo, which is 30 days before Sukkot. If he didn't warn him by then, he cannot evict him before Pesach. And during the summer, he can't evict him unless he gives him 30 days advance notice. In a very large city, then the owner of the house cannot evict the tenant unless he gives him 12 months advance warning. The reason being, as in a big city, it's much more difficult to find a replacement bias for the person to rent. And so too, the socher, the renter, has to give advance warning to the masker if he plans on leaving. So therefore, in a big city, the socher would have to give 12 months advance warning, and in a smaller city, 30 days advance warning. If he doesn't give advance warning that he is leaving, he would have to continue paying the rent. Ubechanuyot, echad ayaros, the echad krachim, shnei matzor chodesh. Somebody who rents a store, whether in a smaller city or a bigger city, the person who owned the store would have to give 12 months advance warning to the tenant. The reason being, as somebody who has a store generally gives out merchandise on credit, and if he leaves the store and moves to a different store in a different place, it would make it much more difficult for him to claim the money that is owed him. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Chanut Shanach Tomim V'Shal Tabaim Shalosh Shanim. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, somebody who rents a store to a baker or a dyer, the owner of the store would have to give 3 years advance warning before he evicts the tenant. The reason being, as bakers and dyers tend to give out merchandise on a very long-term credit, so therefore, they have to be warned in advance 3 years so they can collect the money that is owed them before they are evicted.